How do you get rid of bed bugs, Stephen? What's your bed bug method?
I call a coworker. No, I don't think I've ever experienced bed bugs, but I did once years and years ago. One of our kids brought lice home, which was terrible. I guess I'll save that story for the lice episode, but I've never experienced bed bugs.
I've also never experienced bed bugs except for in my mind. The bed bugs are always in my mind. If I get thinking about bed bugs, I feel bed bugs. And
yes. Whew, yeah, like something. Like I've had that experience. Like you check into a hotel or something and, you know, maybe it's just like a breeze or something, but like you feel a little like tickle like on your arm or your leg and then your body's itchy. I've had that.
Oof. Even really nice hotel rooms, you still wonder. Like, yeah. What's going down?
Ever rejected a hotel room or asked to be moved because of a situation?
Yes, actually. I hate doing it. It feels like the worst thing to do, but I've only done it in situations where I was, like, having a worse time because the hotel room was awful. Like, it was next to a garbage bay. This was a hotel in Florida, and a girlfriend and I went down to like hang out at the hotel and like have like a great little weekend together, and they put it, and we were like oceanfront hotel, right? They put us in the back of the hotel, and it's like next to the garden, so you hear the garbage trucks like beep beep beep, like backing up, you could like just barely see the ocean. It's like, I paid for a pretty great hotel room and this is where you put us? Like, so I complained about that room because I was mad. And I think that was fair because, like, you're sleeping and you want to hear an ocean, and instead you hear garbage trucks and people yelling.
Yeah, that's no good.
Mm-mm.
Years and years ago, my wife and I, we were on like a kind of like a mini road trip. We had been in Texas visiting some people, and then we drove up to Oklahoma City and then came back to Memphis. And we stayed at a hotel one night. Like, it wasn't super nice, but it wasn't like a, you know, roadside motel or anything. We check in and the place is kind of dated, but whatever. And we go to the room and like, we're both exhausted from driving. And so we're like, well, we're going to like lay down for a little while, then go find some dinner. And like, we lay down and we hear like rustling in the wall, like behind the bed. And we just went down to the front desk and I was like, we have to have a different room, or you have to give us our money back and we're going to go somewhere else. They gave us a nice upgraded room, and I felt bad about it, but I was like, I cannot stay in this room. Like, there's something in here.
Yeah, that's a good reason. That's plumbing issues are a good reason.
Yes.
I think there's lots of good reasons to complain about a hotel room, not just like, ew, I don't like this room.
What if your coworker comes in and takes off her clothes? Is that a reason to complain to the hotel?
If I'm not into it, yeah, I think so. I think,
we'll get to that.
We will get to that. Oh my gosh, I have so much to talk about. Okay, we are talking about the episode After Hours, Season 8, Episode 16, originally airing on February 23rd, 2012. Before we get to a half-naked Kathy in a Jim's bedroom, we need to talk about our cold open and everything else that happens in this episode.
Yeah, this is another episode that is split between Scranton and Tallahassee. The cold open is truly a cold open. I feel like for a while now we've kind of had these room temperature opens where they kind of go in, but this is a true like standalone cold open, and it's this really nice grouping of Pam and Angela and Oscar, and they're all kind of comparing, you know, where the babies are. So Pam asks Angela if she wants to see a photo of Philip. Oscar shows a puppy photo. They say, you know, raising a puppy is not the same as raising a baby. It kind of goes around and round. It's very tightly written, and I think it's really funny.
Yeah, I love the pairings that they do, where first we have Pam and Angela against Oscar talking about his dog.
Oscar thinks having a dog is just like having a baby.
Newsflash, if you didn't carry it around in your belly for 9 months, it isn't your kid.
Exactly. Unless you adopt it, of course.
That is where we disagree.
Then we have a Pam Oscar against Angela, who keeps saying that like her baby is the best. So that's like another one of those annoying parent things to do. So they're like on the side in the confessional complaining about her.
Angela is such a liar.
It's maddening.
And then in this crazy twist, I didn't think it was coming, but it was. Then we have Oscar and Angela complaining about Pam, who now has to one-up everybody about having two kids.
No one said you must have two.
Like her genes are so important. The world just needs more Pam Jim DNA. Thank you, no.
No, thank you.
And the icing on the cake is when Andy comes in talking about his brother's new boat and how he has no idea what he's getting into in boat ownership. I mean, to be fair, though, I hear owning a boat is pretty taxing, but
sure.
I love all three of them then complaining about Andy being unbelievable. How dare he?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's also a little foreshadowing because Andy has a big boat story coming up. And so I think they're laying the groundwork for that. That's what I thought of this time.
Mm, yeah, me too.
Yeah, big sail energy coming Andy's way. But down in Florida, and I guess in the rest of the episode, this takes place on a Friday afternoon and Friday evening. And so we're following the Florida team as well as the folks still at Dunder Mifflin Scranton, who are also there around after hours because they need to service the accounts for the people who went on the trip. And so we have a group of people in the conference room going through the orders, making sure everything was ordered correctly and paid for and delivered and reconciled, that everything was done correctly. And it's pretty funny to me because there's this great moment between Pam and Andy.
Tonight we're staying late to service the accounts of the people who went on the Florida trip.
Yes, of course, we could have just been doing this the whole time, but someone dropped the ball.
Ball droppings can be beautiful. For example, when it turns an awkward soprano into a rich full tenor.
I really like the after hours scenes that we get in this series. I think about times when they were doing inventory in the warehouse, or even something like casino night, like having our Dunder Mifflin employees at work or around work outside of the normal hours always leads to something fun, I think.
Yeah.
Unless you're Val. Val didn't have a good time. We'll get to that too.
This B plot back at the office also is like the first time I've really seen them like super working. You know, like there's so much more that the mockumentary covers, as we know. It's like more about all of these people and their lives and their relationships. This is like a real around the table working session, like the way they're going through each and every single order and checking it off the list, and the whiteboard is going. There's a lot of work going on, and it kind of stood out to me because I don't think we see it that often.
Watson carpet and tile.
One order.
Order reference number 00983-126.
8 cases bright white inkjet.
Paid.
I'm dying!
Processed.
And delivered?
Yeah, we definitely see less of it as the series goes on. I mean, I feel like in the earlier seasons, there were more storylines based around the actual business, right? Like golden ticket. But even back to like season two with like the Chili's thing where Michael and Jan hook up because they did make the big sale. Like as we've gotten to know the characters more, the show has become more character driven. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But you're right. This is like maximum paperwork. Like the conference room is covered in these folders and these order forms, and they're going through this process. It definitely jumped out to me as well. It's like, wow, where's all this stuff most of the other time?
It's the most paper I've ever seen in this paper company.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's what's behind Kevin, you know, in those tall filing cabinets. I think that's where they live most of the time.
So in this episode, we have kind of four instances. I like how everything is tied together, where we have kind of coupling plot lines. And so we have a Dwight Packer Nelly kind of coupling going on. We have a Ryan Aaron coupling going on. We have a Jim Kathy anti-coupling going on, but still it has the vibe. And then we have a Daryl Val kind of coupling plot going on. So we have all of this happening in the same theme, but everyone is reacting to it differently. And I just really like how it all flows together. It's a very full episode.
It definitely is. It's another short intro sequence episode. That's basically the norm this season, it feels like, that we're getting those really short credits at the beginning. Should we go check in on Florida people?
Yeah, we could check in on Florida. We'll get that going. And then I say we talk about Ryan and Aaron, since that's kind of one of the smaller ones.
Yeah.
I think we talk about Val and Daryl. Mm-hmm. And then we dive into the, you know, the big Florida plot down here with Kathy.
Yeah, that sounds good. So it's, like we said, it's Friday afternoon. The way this episode is structured, this is the same night that all this is going on, and it, you know, they've put in 40 hours. They're gonna go down to the hotel bar. Nellie can't make it mandatory, but she basically says you need to be there. And it kicks off this back and forth between Packer and Dwight about this VP position that we mentioned last time. There's this position in this retail organization beneath Nellie, and they both want it. And Dwight's trying to play this like word association game by saying like Dwight and VP over and over. And Nellie's like, I see what you're doing. It's not going to work.
Dwight, I am still not ready to name the VP.
That's not what I was going to ask. Gosh, you jumped to conclusions. Mm-hmm. Come on. I know you've got so much on your plate. It's right now you're like, oh, what's more important? Dwight's question, figure out who's the VP. Dwight, VP, Dwight, VP. Dwight VP. Dwight VP.
I can't be hypnotized, Dwight. I tried it. I ended up smoking more.
Nellie already has his number. Like, she already knows Dwight already. Like, I love that. It's been just 1 week and she has him pegged.
Yeah, yeah. Very quickly. Packer has a different approach to get this job. And he's going to get the job by sleeping with Nellie. And that's his plan. And he is putting that into action at the bar. They are flirting, they are talking, they're doing this weird, like, make ocean sounds in my ear thing that made me very uncomfortable to watch.
It made Jim so uncomfortable he left. He left the bar at that point.
I'd rather hear the trash trucks outside your hotel room than that.
Blow in my ear.
All right.
Like I'm on the beach.
Seagull.
And a wave crashing. A wave crashing. Oh, that is lovely.
All right. That's going to do it for me tonight. Have a lovely evening.
It sets this sort of rivalry between these two guys. And that kind of plays through the episode of Dwight trying to struggle with, you know, what should he do about this? Should he be willing to make the same decision Packer's going to make? And he ends up trying to sabotage Packer. It's a big mess.
I like this plot line. I think it's pretty funny because Nellie is obviously into pitting these two against each other. Like, yeah. She is also playing this game. And I think it's a really funny rivalry because Dwight doesn't have game. Packer is disgusting. And it's just the two of them in this goofy seduction scene, mm-hmm. is very funny to me. And when Dwight gets pulled away, which I guess we will kind of tie in here, I also like how Gabe kind of gets left in charge of watching out for Packer hooking up with Nellie. He has to try and prevent it. And I think that is also a really funny scene. But I already feel like we're getting ahead of ourselves, or I'm getting ahead of myself.
Calm down, Packer. I mean, Tiff.
Ew, don't.
I'm sorry. Misa, sorry.
No, it's, you're making it worse. This is like ocean noise. This is like, this is the equivalent of creepy, sexy ocean noises. No, stop. All right, let's.
You know, if you think about it, Darth Vader's breathing kind of sounds like the ocean wave.
Stop.
Okay, I'm done.
I hate you.
I'm sorry.
All right, Ryan, I'm going to totally, we're going to switch gears here. Ryan and Aaron, they are also at the bar, and Aaron confides in Ryan and tells him that her plans are to stay down in Florida. And Ryan kind of takes this as an invitation that she wants him to make a move on her. I don't know where he's getting that, but that's how he decides to implement some romantic gestures. And Aaron is in the mood for some hotel waffles.
I will have a glass of your oakiest Chardonnay, please.
And I will have a waffle with your maple-iest syrup.
Sorry, no waffles.
Oh, okay, just forget it then. Forget it. Forget it.
A waffle?
A hotel waffle. I know what I want to eat. Is that crazy?
And Ryan decides to take it upon himself and says to her that we are going to get you those waffles in hopes to, you know, woo her a little bit here.
Yeah, he sees an opening now knowing that she's staying in Florida to make a move. And we saw in the previous episode when Dwight was waking everybody up that Ryan had, like, come to her door a couple of times. Like, he's been after her for a little while, and he sees this possibility. So they, like, go into the hotel kitchen, and they find a waffle iron, but then they have to hide under the counter because somebody comes in, right? They don't want to. I think his line is like, do you want to get scolded? Which is exactly what would happen in this situation. Like, you're not really in trouble. You're just going to be told to leave.
Hello, waffle iron.
Hello. What do we have here?
Okay. So the recipe says we need a mixing bowl, a measuring cup.
Got that.
Get down. What's the push?
Do you want us to get scolded? Shut your beautiful, beautiful mouth, please.
And then they have this conversation when they're ducked under the counter, and he compliments her about how much she's grown, and she invites him to, like, stay in Florida, you know, maybe in 6 months, you know, something serious could happen. And he just cuts her off.
You should move down here with me.
Yeah.
We could be roommates.
Really?
We could get a dog. We could go to R-rated movies. And who knows? I mean, you're a guy and a girl.
Yeah.
Maybe in 6 months.
Okay. I'm in love with Kelly.
He has returned to form. You know, like, you see an opening here where, like, okay, maybe Ryan's doing a nice thing, even if his motives aren't pure. But he snaps back to creepster Ryan pretty quickly.
I had hope here. I thought he was kind of being sweet. Like, they were having, like, a cute little moment, and, like, they were, you know, consensually flirting together. It was nice. And then he didn't want to wait. He wanted it to be tonight. And that's super gross.
Yep. Yes, it is.
So that's basically them.
That's it.
I want to talk about Val and Daryl, because I think that is equally as short, but also important, and a different relationship to highlight here.
Yeah, it is coming on the heels of the love beanie deal. Like, we know she's dating somebody, but she won't admit it to him. And he kind of views this as a door being left open. But Andy, I think, unintentionally kind of, like, forces the issue, which is the one problem I have with this. Like, I would think that Daryl would have talked to Andy about this because they seem to be pretty close. But then Andy hires Val's boyfriend to come in.
No, I don't think he would have talked to Andy about it, because Daryl in this scenario can play it pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like, the way he played the love beanie out, he's just kind of, like, sitting on this. He's not the aggressor here. He's not pushing things with Val. He just knows that there's a possibility that it might be open.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think, like, he would have, you know, gossiped about it with Andy.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's not like I'm really like, the way Andy feels about Aaron, or, like, when he gets in a relationship, he wants to talk about it, right? Like, Andy's a chatter. Like, let's talk. What does this mean? Like, he's one of those, I need to discuss the relationships. I don't see that from Daryl. Like, I see Daryl just kind of, he's cool waiting. He'll see where this goes on his own, but he's not going to make a big deal out of it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go with that. That makes me feel better about how this kind of plays out. So, Brandon, Val's boyfriend, comes in. Andy's hired him to bring food in for their massive amounts of paperwork. It's Jamaican food, and there's this really funny kind of, like, throwaway couple of lines where Oscar assumes that Brandon is Jamaican because he brought Jamaican food in.
Jamaican, huh? I just read about the elections down there. Crazy stuff.
Oh, no, I'm not actually Jamaican.
Terrific.
It's like, Oscar, what are you doing, man? not cool. But Brandon clearly has come with a purpose to confront Daryl, and he basically just, like, goes off and says, like, hey, you're sleeping with Val.
What's up, man? I'm Daryl.
Now, Daryl, I heard about you. You doing good?
Oh, yeah.
You must be doing real good since you're f***ing my girlfriend.
Whoa.
Dude, you didn't tell me you were f***ing Val. Oh, hey. High five.
I'm not sleeping with your girlfriend.
Brandon, what the hell are you talking about?
Don't play dumb with me. I know what's up.
Honey, I am not
sleeping.
Everyone in the conference room is kind of, like, taken aback by this. except Kelly. Kelly's excited that something's happening, right? She's so bored. She's like, she just wants to die. And now there's something meaty that she has to stick around for to see how it plays out.
Guys, we're not going to settle anything this way. I think we just need to be grown-ups here.
Thank you.
I think we're going to need to hear those texts.
Okay, Holly, remember how you wanted to go home before?
No. There's no way in hell I'm leaving. Something interesting is happening here. For once in my life, I'm staying here. Daryl, read the texts.
Kelly is the one that demands that Daryl read these texts that Brandon has been saying is the damning evidence against Daryl, and that, you know, he's been moving in on his girl because he texted her at midnight, which, okay, yeah, red flag. That's quite late to be texting a friend. Not super unreasonable, but quite late. And we also find out that Brandon knows about these texts because he's been snooping in Val's phone, which
not cool.
Is also not cool. Like, that's such an invasion of privacy, right? Like, regardless. Anyway, everyone in the office now is asking Daryl to read out these texts so that they can, like, prove his innocence or see if he's guilty. Daryl reads these texts. They are pretty benign, but also a little bit leading. I don't know. How do you feel?
Yeah, I feel like Daryl is leaving the door open the tiniest crack possible.
Right. Right. He's flirting, but he's not.
But barely.
Being aggressive. Yeah, exactly. He's like, if it ended up just being a friendship, it seems like that would be fine. But if it went further than that, then these would be pretty damning.
What I found so interesting about this is in contrast with Packer and Ryan and Kathy, who were all way over the line trying to make something happen. And Daryl's really playing it slow here. And, you know, these texts are, like you said, mostly innocent, maybe a little bit leading, but not a lot.
I got too much ice cream. You want some? Getting my fry on. The moon is huge tonight.
Oh, gosh, the moon one's damning. Yeah, sorry.
That's regular text talk.
But what comes up is the last text, which says, "You're such a great friend, dot, 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 dot." And that sets Kelly off. Five dots. That says something, you know. Three dots mean something. Four dots mean something. But five dots, what are you doing?
You forgot one.
You're such a great friend.
With the dots.
You're such a great friend. Dot, 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 dot.
Five dots, Daryl? Are you kidding me? Okay, because three dots means to be continued. Four dots is a typo, but five dots means, whoa, do not make me say what I want to say, baby. But if I did, it would blow your mind. Dot, 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 dot.
Oh. See? Yes. Thank you, sister.
I think this is so funny.
It is hilarious. It is so good.
It's like when you use the wrong emoji for something and you find out that, like, that emoji actually means, like, I'm horny. Instead of, like, what you meant was, like, you know, pineapple. And you're like, oh, no. Like, I literally wanted a pineapple.
Wait, does the pineapple emoji mean something?
I don't. I just made that up. It could now. I mean, that seems like a really good
emoji.
Does it mean horny? Because, I mean, that would work. It does now.
Apparently,
watch out for
it
all those
is,
pineapple texts.
I mean, you have a complicated relationship status. I don't know why. Mm. Okay.
There's a lot of new generation emoji usage that
world.
I can't even.
Yeah, world.
I can't even begin to decipher at this point. And you know what? I don't need to. You know, I don't need to decipher those. But so we have all these extra dots, and this is the damning text. Kelly says that's totally obvious. And again, like, Daryl didn't do anything wrong here. Again, they are just texts. They are just dots. And he tries to cool down the situation by saying, like, oh, me and Val, no way. Like, laying it on really thick that he's not interested in Val. And it kind of cools everything down. It seems like he leaves the room. I'm not quite sure how this situation diffuses. Val keeps reassuring Brandon that no, nothing is going on. And that's true. Nothing is going on. You know, we haven't heard what the response that Val had was. So, like you said, in contrast to the other attempted couplings that have been going on, this one seems the most non-damning, but mm-hmm. it kind of has one of the bigger reactions.
Definitely. I like that Pam and Andy come to talk to Daryl at some point in this. Like you said, the timeline's a little confusing because they end up back in the paperwork hellscape after this, but Andy and Pam offer contrasting takes, and Pam says that he should go for it like Jim did, and nothing would have happened if Jim hadn't put himself out there. And then Andy says, hey, play it cool. You know, don't come on too strong. And this is clearly influenced by their experiences. Mm-hmm. But I like the contrasting advice that Daryl gets. And I think the way that Daryl ends it with Val reflects that he's kind of splitting the difference a little bit between these points of view. Like, he opens the door further than he has before with Val, but he doesn't do like what Jim did in Casino Night, where he expresses these deep feelings for her and then kisses her, and like it's this whole big thing, right? So I like the little trio here, and it kind of reminded me of the episode where they went to get the Christmas tree, where Daryl was down about his daughter and his ex, and it's Pam and Andy who are kind of behind him and trying to encourage him. So I like this pairing of characters with their history.
Yeah, and I like how Daryl resolved it. I think he did the right thing here, where he didn't lie about his feelings, so he won't regret anything or like regret not saying anything. Like, Daryl tells Val, honestly, I don't think that we would be ridiculous, and that's it.
Hey, just so you know, me and you, I don't think that's ridiculous. Dot, 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 dot.
He doesn't push it. He plays it super cool. He's honest. He's open, but not aggressive. It's done right. And I respect Daryl for that.
Yeah. But he uses the five dots. He uses Kelly's interpretation to say, I'm saying more than what I'm saying. But he kind of leaves it at that. And I think it's well played by Daryl.
Right, because now at this point, it's up to Val, like what she wants to do. And there's no pressure here. It's just more like, you know, you're operating under all the information.
So should we go back to Florida?
Crawl into bed with Jim.
Oh, I mean, hey, good looking man.
I mean, yeah. Are we both, like, you know, crushing on Jim here?
I mean, he's no Robert California.
I mean,
who is not in this episode? He's not in this. I just kind of realized this. He's not in this string of episodes when they're in Florida.
He will be.
Yes.
He will be.
Yes. We will see him soon. And then we'll never see him again. So.
Oh, let's not talk about that now. Let's focus on Jim.
He's the Lizard King. So while this scene at the hotel bar is going on with Aaron and with Ryan and then with Nelly and the guys, Jim has sort of left the madness behind. He's going to go to his room. He's going to watch basketball. And there is a knock on the door, and it's Kathy. And she's saying, hey, maintenance is in my room working on the heat. It's like really hot in there. Can I just come hang out in here while they're in there working? And it sort of sets off this like escalating forwardness by Kathy. I mean, she comes in like, I mean, she's dressed very casually, like she's in shorts and tank top kind of thing.
And it's white too, right? Like white with a dark bra. Like, she's got a lot going on.
Pretty casual.
We need to set the scene even more though, because the camera angle during all of this is through the window. Mm-hmm. So it's already like creepy kind of peeping Tom camera angle. We also get a glimpse of Florida Stanley taking someone up to his room who he was talking to at the bar earlier, which we kind of saw in the background. And we see him out on the balcony with this other woman as Kathy is entering Jim's room. And another bit of backstory here, we do find out in the beginning, Jim has a little side confessional with the camera that he has been spending more time with Kathy.
Kathy? It's been great. Fun, normal. I thought I was going to be hanging out with Stanley on this trip, but he's turned out to be kind of a loose cannon.
And this is something that I didn't pick up as much with the previous mm-hmm. watches, but he does mention that he thought he was going to be spending more time with Stanley. Florida Stanley turned out to be a creep. No surprise here. And so he has been like a little bit more friendly with Kathy, and they've been like, you know, hanging out, joking, maybe sitting together at lunch or something like that. But nothing to the extent that would warrant Kathy yeah. laying it on as thick as she is during all of these scenes.
What I like about that confessional from Jim is he's very clearly answering a question given to him by the documentarian. Like the way he starts the sentence is like, oh yeah, like he's making eye contact with somebody. Mm-hmm. The documentarian knows what she said before they went to Florida, right? And they probably know more about Kathy's intentions than we see in the edited show, like if we're going to go really meta for a second. And so they're like checking in with Jim about what they think may be going on. And Jim is, I mean, he's obviously like surprised at several points at Kathy's actions. But yeah, I like the way it's all set up. I like the long shots through the window. I like that he was asked this sort of leading question by the documentarian. I think it's all put together very well. And she just like comes on in and like sits on the bed, and he sort of like sinks to the floor. He's not going to sit on the bed with her. And
also, she's wearing Uggs, the least sexy shoe ever to be made. Like, I'm very upset by the Uggs. Like, if we're talking about her outfit, I'm the most upset about the Uggs, honestly.
Stanley comes in to raid Jim's minibar and looks over at Kathy,
who's rubbing lotion on her legs. Like, she's rubbing lotion on her legs
yeah.
in Jim's bed. It just, it keeps
too
getting
much.
Worse and worse. Oh, my gosh.
Too much.
Oh, hello.
You want to watch the game with us? We're watching a game, the Heat game. Just a game.
Got it. Good night. Careful, Jim. It gets easier and easier.
No. Stanley. Stanley. All right. Hey, you know, just bring back those bottles.
And he's like, no, Stanley, don't leave. It's not what you think. You know, and Stanley leaves. And this is when... Dwight gets involved, which I think is really smart on Jim's part. Like, Jim's whole scheme here to get Dwight in and Kathy out, I think, is actually a pretty good one.
What? Not now, I'm busy.
I'm sorry, I thought you'd want to know that I saw a bed bug in my room, but never mind. Sorry to interrupt.
Wait. Bed bugs? Oh, no.
Jim is having a hard time directly saying anything. I mean, he eventually does, but at first, he's just more trying to avoid the situation. He's giving Kathy the benefit of the doubt, which I don't think that she deserves, but he's definitely trying to avoid her, and he's giving off so much body language that he is not interested, and she just keeps on pushing, like, even like going over to the mini bar and like the butt in the air, like right in front of his face. Like, there's so much, I guess, is this what peacocking is? Like, it's, oh no, or was that like when you wear something floofy?
I don't know.
But it's like,
what do emoji mean?
Just, what is flirting? But it's just like she is laying it on so thick here that it's just making Jim more and more uncomfortable. And he's constantly looking at the camera, constantly trying to be like, help me, to even like the camera people. And it's just not happening. Also, one of those things, like one of those meta questions, Kathy's being filmed here. Like, this is happening on TV. Is she doing this like as a performance? Is she doing this like in the guise of kind of those reality shows that were out at the time, like Paradise Island, like who's hooking up with who and ruining relationships? Like,
maybe.
Is this her angle? Is she trying to like get slightly famous because now all of a sudden she was, you know, put onto this show that is being followed by a documentary crew? I don't know. I would think that would be the only excuse for someone's behavior like this. But yeah, Dwight is employed, and Jim says to Dwight that he has bed bugs and Dwight needs to get up here immediately to take care of them. And this is where we see Dwight down at the bar giving Gabe the deputization of, you know, watching out for Nellie.
Freak, I need a favor.
Well,
Then you have to call me by my name. Gabriel Susan Lewis.
I gotta be gone for a few minutes. You make sure that Packer does not sleep with Nelly.
What's in it for GSL?
You really want Packer as your boss?
Got it.
And Gabe, like, tries to get something out of Dwight before he's like, look, do you want Packer to be your boss? And Gabe's like, no, I'm in. I do not want that. it's quite funny. But Dwight can't have this because he can't bring bed bugs back to Shoot Farms, even though he immediately comes in and strips the bed and then later gets in it to attract the bed bugs to himself. Like, not sure what his plan is there. But the idea is to get Kathy out. And Dwight comes in. He makes everything very uncomfortable.
Where did you see it?
In the bed.
Well, I haven't seen anything.
We gotta find it before it eggs. Ah! Describe it.
Brown, shiny, painful bite.
Could be a bat weevil. Describe its mood. Did it seem sleepy?
Stressed. But to be fair, it was a tense situation.
Fair enough. But after it bit you, did it run away, fearful? Or did it walk away, smug, self-assured?
So smug. Like he thought it was funny, like this.
That's a bed bug.
Yeah.
Everything's a joke.
I know.
Check your hair. God, oh, it's so greasy. You should just shave all this.
Just check it.
You are clean. Okay. The one thing a bed bug thrives on is heat and carbon dioxide. I am going to generate myself into a human trap. When I jump into the bed, you are going to cover me with the sheet immediately. And then we'll see who's laughing.
All right.
Yeah. Cover me!
Is this really necessary?
Oh, he knows what he's doing.
Let the bed bugs bite.
Oh, God, I feel so gross. I have to go take a shower.
All right, then I will catch you later.
Kathy's like, look, I need to go take a shower. And Jim's like, okay, see ya. But then off camera, she goes into his bathroom and his hotel room.
Oh my God.
And we hear the water start. And Jim just like is like, wait, what? Like, what? This is not what I meant to happen.
Jim can't even believe it. Like, it's just, it's so unfathomable. And Dwight has no idea, right?
No.
Like, Dwight has no clue that this is to get rid of Kathy. He is so focused on the bed bugs, but he tries to do a good job. And he says that, nope, there have been no bed bugs. He couldn't find any. Jim tries to get him to stay, but Dwight heads down because he has a mission still downstairs with Nellie. He doesn't want to leave that too long.
Yeah.
And yet, as soon as Dwight closes the hotel room door, Kathy comes out of the shower in a bathrobe with her hair wet and climbs right back into the bed. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I'm just so mad.
It's not good. It is not good.
Her game is so bad. Like, it's, he obviously isn't into you.
Yeah.
He's not that into you. Stop.
Yeah. Florida Stanley's right there. Ryan is right there. There are other options.
Exactly.
But not that you should take either of those options. But,
or maybe you should. I don't know. Like, what?
I don't really care what happens to Kathy. Like, just
no.
Get out of here.
Go.
So she orders some dessert and like makes this comment about, oh, she ordered a lot of dessert, but oh, I work out, like feel my leg. And Jim's like, okay. Like he stands up. He's like, look, I'm married. I'm, you know, I just got to say this. And this is really the line that makes me like this. It really makes me cringe. Kathy says, oh my God, what are you thinking?
All right. I'm really sorry. I just have to say it. I'm married. I'm very happily married.
Oh my God. What are you thinking?
I mean,
I know that you're married. I sat at your wife's desk. How little do you think of me?
I'm sorry. I feel like maybe I misread things. Okay. Let's just go back to watching.
Can you, without running to the other side of the room all night?
Yes, I can. all right. I'm really sorry. I think we'll just watch. You can watch, not watch, whatever you want to do. Take another shower. I don't care.
Okay. It's like, we know what Kathy said before this trip. We know what her intentions are. It's so bad. And Jim, of course, feels bad, right? Like, I think anyone in that situation would be like, oh gosh, did I massively overreact? Jim, you didn't overreact. You did what you should have done. But he's like, okay, like, let's just go back to watching. And then immediately she like sits next to him and tries to snuggle up next to him. And he,
oh, she snuggles. She totally snuggles.
Yeah.
This situation just makes me so incredibly mad because of the audacity of it all. It's just like, how could you, like, he is saying to you, I am not interested. Like, he finally said to you, like, said it, I am not interested. And you still are pushing like this? It's,
yeah,
it's just too much.
While this is going on, we see what Gabe's sabotage of Packer involved. And it is spraying. I have never used an inhaler, but I think the amount of inhaler medication that Gabe sprays into Packer's drink is way more than any person should ever have. And it clearly affects Packer, who ends up, you know, he's dancing with Nelly. They're on kind of in the floor of the bar there. And he gets sick to his stomach. He ends up throwing up on Gabe. So Gabe's, you know, kind of like self-inflicted wound here.
His corduroys, no.
Yeah, no, they don't make these in boot cut anymore.
They don't make these cords in boot cut anymore.
And this is where Dwight sees his opportunity. And so he's talking with Nelly, and she eventually asks for the key to his room. And then Dwight has this moment of clarity that he doesn't want to do this, that he doesn't want this job this way. And he ends up kind of out of sight of Nelly, destroying like the magnetic stripe on the hotel key card so she can't get in. He doesn't want to say no to her directly, but he doesn't want to move forward with spending the night with her. And good on Dwight. I think if he had gone through with this, he would have woken up feeling pretty crappy about it.
I love this change for Dwight. I love seeing him sabotage this for his own good. I think that this is a really good turn. We're seeing like some maturity in Dwight, because I think, like, thinking back to Pam and Jim's wedding and how he was, you know, just kind of, I don't even want to say more loose, but he was more like in the bachelor mindset.
Yeah.
And now
he's
that
got a son.
Right. Now that he might have a son, he's pretty sure he has a son. I think that things are changing for him. He doesn't want to live his life like that anymore. And I think that this is a cool turn for Dwight, that he's no longer doing anything to get the job. He has some boundaries now for himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Win at all costs, don't respect women. These are the tenets I was brought up with, and they have served me well. But my ancestors never worked in corporate America. They were farmers, and before that, hunters, and before that, time travelers, and before that, me again. At least that's how the legend goes. The point is, they never had to worry about how they got ahead. They just had to put food on the table and not alter the past.
As Dwight is having this realization, things upstairs continue to unravel for Jim. So Jim comes out of the bathroom, and now she's in bed without the robe on. The robe is like piled up on the floor. She's under the covers. And this is the final straw for Jim. He has called Dwight back. He's armed with all sorts of chemicals. There's not an inhaler. Maybe an inhaler would have been effective. Apparently it's a major weapon. But he like sprays out of the room, and Jim's like, oh, there's a bug, and kind of chases Kathy out of the room.
Now I think it's time for you to go.
What? Oh, Jim, I thought we talked about this. You're cool, right?
Kathy, go.
Where's the bug?
Awesome.
Stand back!
Stop it! What's that? The furnace! What is that?
It's a compound of chemicals I pulled off of the maid's cart.
Oh my God!
Right there!
Oh God! Stop it! Stop it!
Oh, big one! Big one!
I think I saw it!
Stop it!
Nice job! I think you got him.
You can't stay here. This place is a biohazard. Perry, I'll just bunk with Kathy.
Again, oblivious, but hilarious.
Yeah, but it does work out. I love the tag for this episode. It's Jim and Dwight. They're in Dwight's room. They're eating the desserts that Kathy ordered. They're having a really nice conversation about like the best desserts they've ever had. And then Nellie's knocking at the door.
Dwight. Hello? Dwight.
Is that Nelly?
Are you in there? I can see the light on under your door. Hello? Oh, look at that. The light went off. Just as I said, the light went off. Hello? Dwight?
And Jim's like, what is happening?
The two of them avoiding their unwanted romantic entanglements. It's the perfect ending to all of these escapades that are going on in this hotel.
Yeah, it's great. And I love that it ends with the Jim and Dwight friendship kind of unknowingly protecting each other.
Yeah.
From bad situations. It's pretty nice.
I really like this episode because it frustrates me and it puts characters in really different situations that we have not seen them before. You know, we haven't seen any of this dynamic go down, and we get it all in one episode from all these different characters, and I think it's a really fun way to see each of them.
Yeah, it is. And this far into the series, I think it's a really nice way to keep kind of things fresh. Like I mean we've said it so many times, like, we both love the story arc, even though there's, you know, parts of it that are really cringy. And I think, like, the Kathy situation is maximum uncomfortable situation. But it is this, like, remixing of these elements we've known for a long time in a new way. And I think that's why it's so enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. And the way it's portrayed is, it, like, you know, nothing terrible happens.
Yeah.
And I
except Packer. Packer may be dead.
I mean, how many times has that accidentally happened to Bagger?
It's true.
But, like, you know, it's still all really lighthearted and fun, and it's that office feel again, but with this extended twist of being down in Florida. So the next episode we will be talking about will be in Florida, but it won't be for 2 weeks. We're going to take ourselves a little spring
That's
break.
Right.
Maybe head on down to Florida, get ourselves a better hotel room than next
Florida.
To trash.
I'm not going to Florida. I'm going to the mountains.
You're not?
I'm not a big beach person. So,
what?
Yeah. Going going to the Smoky Mountains for a week. So
wait, don't you live in mountains?
No.
Like, you live in the country, in the mountains, and you're going to more mountains? I don't get you.
I'm going to draw you a geographical map of Tennessee and send it to you.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I feel like it's on, like, the other side of some mountains, like, close to Florida.
Have you seen a map?
I just like making you mad. Well, if you like the way I make Steven mad, go and check us out at tall_beats or individually at ISMH and at Tiff Arment. And we will be back in 2 weeks talking about the episode Test the Store. Test the Store. I don't even remember that was the title. I just read it now.
It's a bad title.
That is a terrible title.
It is.
All right. Terrible title, 2 weeks.
I just want a waffle now.
That does sound good with your mapliest syrup.
Seagull.
And a wave crashing. A wave crashing. Oh, that is lovely.